This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I don't know how much more absurd, you know, comedy can become to overlap that of how absurd reality has become.
Welcome back to Ozzy Confidential. I am your host, Eugene S. Robinson. This next version, it's kind of an interesting one, an age of snowflakes and a culture of outrage and nervous Nellies and stuttering, muttering approaches to campus comedy. People dancing, tenterhooks, and walking on eggshells. We're going to meet a guy named Heinrich who would like you to think what he does is funny, but fundamentally doesn't give a fuck whether you do or not. Listen well.
The confessional professional, Eugene S. Robinson, that's me. Here we are in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. We're walking up to a guy named Heinrich. Now, just for those of you who are listening and not watching this like we are, Heinrich is dressed in full SS officer gear, swastika, regalia, the whole bit, in the middle of the Tenderloin, which is like New York City, 1978. So this has got to be epic, and if there's a story that's got to be told, I imagine he might be the one to tell it. Heinrich,
First off, I don't have any money to give to your Black Lives Matter movement.
Heinrich came to San Francisco from where do you hail?
Originally, I'm from Munich, but I was living in Berlin for the last 10 years or so, yeah.
Okay. So it's been kind of rough going for you in San Francisco. I think you said that you went to a Halloween gathering.
Yeah, and there's many supporters to the Fourth Reich. And I was very surprised. You know, lots of people, they seemed very happy to have me there. And the very attractive women were buying me the drinks. I'm not used to this. It's usually the young Aryan boys. but also there was very many people giving me the difficulty.
Well, I did. I read something online that you had some kind of problem.
Yeah, right? Yeah. This is true. When I was going to the restroom to, do the business that the man does, there was the boy. He looked to me like the Aryan boy, so this is why it's the most surprising. And he says to me, "How dare you do this? How dare you come here looking like you do?" I said, "What? Looking so perfect and beautiful?" He said, "No. My cousins, uncles, cousins, brothers, friends, grandmother knew somebody that was in Auschwitz. How dare you come here looking like this?" And I said, "Look, my friend, I don't find any problems. Just let me do my business." But he would not leave me alone. I was at the urinal trying to do my business, and he would keep talking to my back. Finally, I gave him the warning. "If you keep bothering me while I'm doing my business, I will have to assault you in a very physical way." He would not stop, so I was forced to do what I had to do. So I threw the elbow into his chin, and then he went to sleep like the little girl, yeah? Well, I'm thinking, what if somebody comes in right now and they sees me, Heinrich, the perfect Aryan, over the body of the dead little boy, yeah? So I grabbed him by the...
You said little boy. How old was he?
I don't know, maybe 27, 28. And so I grabbed him by the schwanz, and I grabbed him into the stall. The problem is, even after I closed the door, you could still see his little weak legs. He has a very small quadriceps and no calf muscles whatsoever. And so at this point, I said, "Well, I'm going to leave, and let the authorities figure out the rest."
All right, so now we've gotten in off the street. We're in Heinrich's Mountain Redoubt, let's call it that. Maybe I want to call it Casa Heinrich. Thanks for having me.
999 is House Heinrich.
Okay, all right. House Heinrich. Here we are at House Heinrich, and why don't you know...
All right, Eugene, fucking cut the shit, dude. Seriously. I've been doing this, as you're well aware of, for almost 12 years now. You come up here to my apartment, you want to keep making a joke about this? You want to interview me or what?
All right, so... The line between acting like something and being something, maybe like acting crazy and being crazy, starts to get blurry if you do either too long. I guess Damien Norkbosch, well, he might have discovered the truth to that.
I've been doing this. I have the uniforms. I have the scripts. I'm making infomercials. I've lost friends. I've alienated acquaintances.
Well, you've gotten into, people have attacked you on the streets. What's the end game look like? Have you, at some point though, what's the payoff for you? Have you been able to pitch this to people, or what's?
First off, this hasn't been 12 years, continuous. I am, I'm embarrassed to admit that though I had the most sincere ambitions with the Heinrich Project from the beginning, I did abandon it. But, I did make a very conscious decision to bring it back about a year ago with Trump coming into office and everything else associated with him. But there is no end game. Is there an end game to comedy? Is there an end game to any artistic...
Yeah, when you sell it.
Well, that'd be nice. I was born in 1980 in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles, which at that time was, a more prestigious area of L.A. My father, he's Iranian. He left Iran at the age of 16, which was kind of unheard of at that time. That was, pre-revolution. That was still during the Shah's time.
Have you been back to visit?
I've never been, no. Right. I'm unfortunately, and I'm sorry to admit this, I'm scared to go. He left at a time that people just didn't leave, and he did it, as he told me, because he just didn't feel comfortable there.
He left before the revolution.
He left before the revolution. First he went to England, then he went to Italy. He met my mom, who is an American, a Midwestern American who was on vacation.
She's white.
She's white, yeah. They got married, and then they came to the U.S., which I can assume that was my dad's ultimate goal, which was to come to the U.S. So,
did you grow up with extended family from Iran? Or?
Yes and no. You know, my dad in the 80s brought over a lot of his relatives, but we were never that close, even though they lived in L.A. We were never that close. My dad purposely didn't want to teach me Farsi just because he wanted me to be the all-American. You know, my dad had two kind of high-end leather retail stores. It was called Leather Conspiracy. One was in the Promenade Mall in Woodland Hills. The other was in Westwood. And 1980, the Westwood store, not their store, but all the stores around them, there was a rash of burglaries. And my dad said, you know, fuck that. We're not going to let anybody rob the store. So both he and my mom were in the Westwood store while I was in my mom's belly, pregnant, to make sure nobody, you know, burglarized the place. And that's where my mom started giving birth, in the Westwood store. And my dad held out to the last minute. Are you sure? Are you sure it's coming? Because those motherfuckers, they could be anywhere right now.
Now, Damien is not just gallivanting about the streets of San Francisco doing this for the amusement of onlookers and friends. He actually has put together several pilots of TV shows, most notably ones of which he pitched to Dave Chappelle. You're about to hear a clip of Damien as Heinrich watching a video of young Aryan boys shirtlessly wrestling in oil and the dirt of his pilot Enter the Fourth Reich.
Written menu. Oh, hello, boys. Who are you fighting for? Yeah, grab him. Grab him by the schnitzel. Yeah, yeah, grab his schnitzel. Yeah, yeah. So funny. Yeah, I love this video. Yeah, anyway, right now we are experiencing Nazi recreation, which includes male-to-male wrestling, which is my personal favorite. Yeah, yeah. Look at all these handsome, young Aryan boys. All trying to be the best for Hitler. Oh, what a great time this was. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to go to the restroom for a little bit, yeah. Catch you in a sec. Sieg Heil!
Mel Brooks, you know, pulled it off. Bob Crane, Hogan's Heroes. World War II is not exactly bereft of comedic potential. But if Sieg Heil is your punchline, you might find it a hard road to hoe. You have to understand that politically, this has got to be like probably the most uncomfortable form of comedy ever that you're pursuing.
Of course,
right?
That's the whole point.
Tell me, so what is the point?
The whole point is that, look, you know, no matter what the state of affairs is, even if things are as honky-dory as they might seem on the surface, and right now, I think the collective opinion is that things are not honky-dory in this country, in this state, on this planet. There's a lot of issues going on right now, right? Everything's cool on the surface, or everything's not cool on the surface. You know, there's always going to be issues politically. There's always going to be issues racially. There's always going to be issues with religion and gender and everything else that people constantly, you know, take an opinion to. My dad, who left Iran when he was 16, you know, way before the revolution, before Khomeini, all those guys, though he never felt comfortable in Iran, though he never, you know, had this, though he was never a Muslim, nor was the rest of my family, he still obviously had pride for being Persian. So, you know, fast forward to the late 70s, early 80s, you know, we have the Iranian hostage crisis, 1980, et cetera, et cetera. And he told me a story that in the early 80s, one day, two white women walk into the store. And, you know, my dad had lived in Florence before that. And he was, by all accounts, a player. And he fucked as many women as he possibly could. Hats off, you know. And he said, even by that time, he's married, he has a young kid, he's still getting a lot of, you know, get a lot of attention at least. So these two white women walk in and they say, oh my God, you have such an exotic look. Where are you from? And he had no issues, even though this is post hostage crisis situation, he's not going to lie. He said, well, I'm Persian. She's like, oh my God. And these women say, my God, that's so interesting, because we went to the store right down the street and we thought that those two guys that owned that store were Persian also, but they said they're Egyptian. And my dad became so upset because he said, those two fucking assholes, they're Iranians also. But now they're afraid of losing business. So conveniently, all of a sudden, they're Egyptians. And, you know, even from a young age, I was kind of in a weird circumstance where I was white and I was living around whites. But I think I felt this. Everyone didn't see me as being white. And albeit, you know, in the San Fernando Valley in the early 80s, you had a lot of Jews, you had a lot of Persians, you had people, you know, from all over the place. But the predominant group were WASPs. And I was half WASP and I was half something else, but close enough that people still recognized me as being white, but I wasn't quite there. Okay.
So you were other.
I was other.
Yeah.
Close enough, but not. So in 88, you know, my dad, who was very much turned off by the LA scene, he wanted the exact opposite. And we ended up moving up to Mendocino County, which was, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the exact opposite. And for me, that was culture shock. Even though everybody spoke English, it was still culture shock. But there was still that weird kind of phenomena going on where people kind of recognized me as being white, but it was still always that question, what are you?
And if your hair grows out, is it curly or is it straight?
Oh, it's curly. Fucking Persian, come on. Gotta shave that shit every day of my life. And the thing is this, I don't reap the rewards of being white. And I know this is a weird thing to say, and people are, oh my God, what does that mean? But think about it. You're white, but you're not white. It's like being a celebrity, but not really being famous and not being rich.
Yeah, it's like me.
Exactly. And I guess that's why you and me are friends.
There you go. Just because it's immersive comedy actually doesn't mean it's funny or comedic. You know, there's a sense listening to Heinrich that you're in on an in-joke that you're not quite willing to be in on.
The whole point of Heinrich, and the whole point of Heinrich 12 years ago, and the whole point of Heinrich right now, is to show that the absolute absurdity of taking an extreme stance on things, but also the extreme danger of extremes. The absurdity, and through the absurdity, also the uncomfortable humor, you know, in extremes.
You're 12 years in.
Right.
We're in the midst of the first Trump administration, at the very least.
Yeah.
And do you feel more or less emboldened to try to continue on, which what seems to many to be kind of a quixotic thing? I mean, there's still the underlying question about why you think it's funny and why, how you expect this to work.
And that's the interesting thing that, you know, when I started the Heinrich Project, you know, over a decade ago, at that time, that seemed like the most extreme thing to do. Mind you, I live in San Francisco. I mean, the whole genesis of this Heinrich character came about in the mid 2000s or the early 2000s. I'm sorry, when I was living in Japantown, San Francisco, which at that time and still is, for all intents and purposes, a very kind of residential, quiet, you know, peaceful neighborhood of San Francisco. You have a lot of tourists. You have, you know, families, senior citizens. One day, it was like middle of a week, middle of the day, maybe 1 p.m. I'm walking up Post Street. And I see two middle-aged white guys walking down the street wearing nothing but cock rings and boots. And that's it. And nobody gave them a second look. There was kids, there was families, there were senior citizens. Nobody gave these guys walking around naked in the middle of the day a second look. And mind you, it wasn't, you know, Folsom Street Week. It wasn't Pride Week. You know, when you have Folsom and Gay Pride Week, you get stragglers that will wander off to other neighborhoods and whatnot. This was none of that. It was just two guys that were walking around naked in the middle of the Japantown of all places. And that was kind of the impetus to this whole thing, where I thought, is there anything that can really shock anybody in San Francisco? And I really put a lot of thought into this. Is there anything, I mean, aside from the obvious, an act of violence or a car wreck or something like that, is there anything that can shock somebody in San Francisco? And I kind of jokingly said to myself, well, maybe with the exception of a guy dressed in full Nazi uniform walking down the street. And that's kind of how this whole thing started out. So at that time, dressing up like an SS officer, you know, from the 40s, walking on the street, that was the most absurd, ludicrous, taboo, and extreme thing I can think of. Now we're in the era of, you know, Steve Bannon, Richard Spencer, the alt-right, Milo, all these other guys. Dressing up like a Nazi in San Francisco, it doesn't really have the same magic that it did 10 years ago.
I have to say, we walked to get here, and I expected that there would be a greater amount of notice that you were dressed like an SS officer. But there was very little until we passed those German guys.
And, you know, and that's unfortunately, that's a bad sign of times, where what has, for the past 50, 60 years at least, been known as the most extreme thing you can do, which even 10 years ago was the most extreme thing I could do, that no longer has the same, it doesn't resonate the same way. So, you know, to answer your you know, overall question, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what the end game to the Heinrich Project is. You know, I don't know how much more absurd, you know, comedy can become to overlap that of how absurd reality has become.
So there we go. Heinrich. Coming up next on Ozzy Confidential, Karen Barnes and her son Dylan, they had a secret. They had a secret about Dylan's life as a woman. Tune in next time for Ozzy Confidential. We go deep, deep, deep into the heart of the trans experience in America. Ozzy Confidential is produced by who else? Me, Eugene S. Robinson, and executive produced by Robert Kulos. And this episode was sound designed, edited, and mixed by Jamie Kahn and Nick Johnson. For more Ozzy Confidential, check us out on Ozzy.com. That's OZY.com/confidential. We publish editorial companion articles on Ozzy and photos, videos for every single store. So to check them out, go to ozzy.com/confidential. That's OZY.com/confidential.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May.
Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.